It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, and we're at the 26th chapter. We're going to start with the 40th verse. So Matthew chapter 26, verse 40, great scripture to read and to enjoy. And so please that you would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to send us a note, why our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to call us at the church here, my number is 217-440-4402. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. We've got many studies there. You'll enjoy them. Please that you would look to that site. Our plan of salvation is there very clearly stated to hear or to read. And also, you can check out our Constitution. You'll find out exactly where we stand. And then if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And we're going to begin reading now. Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples, finding them asleep, and said unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith to them, Sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. We're going to stop with verse 45 there. We'll begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this time. I just ask, Father, that all that are able to listen today will hear your words, Father, that they will be touched by your words, because it's got to be your spirit, Father. He has to convict the hearts. You have sent the Comforter, but in order, Father, for him to be the Comforter, we must trust in what he's showing us. And Father, we know he's showing us our sin. We don't like that. We don't like what we see when we look at our sin. We don't like that. But we need to recognize it's true. And we're going to die in our sin. We're condemned already. So, Father, please, that you would show us the one that the Comforter has come to show us, and that is the Lord Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Please, Father, today, show us the way, and then bring us into your word that we may grow closer and closer to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look now at this wonderful text, we find that it really begins, I kind of started midstream there, but if we would come up here to begin with, all the way up to verse 35, Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. And we want to kind of keep that in mind as we have this study today. And then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And then he went a little further, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And then we come down to the 40th verse. And so we find that Peter, in earlier verses here, makes a very bold statement that I will not deny thee. I would die for thee before I will deny thee. And so he makes that very clearly. However, the Lord Jesus is aware of Peter's fleshly weakness. The spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. And so as we look at this back in verse 34, it says, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Three times. Three times before morning, you're going to deny me. That gives you the clock, the time period here of what's going on. So now as we take a look at these scripture verses, and we start down here at verse 40, "He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith to Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour?" You notice the first words he addressed Peter. What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? And as just we've just read, do you remember what Peter had just said? But Peter, you couldn't even watch 1 hour. You have made such a proclamation here. You have said here in verse 33, "Peter answered and said, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended." And again up here in verse 35, Peter said, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all of the disciples." So they tuned in after Peter made this proclamation. Even though Jesus told him in verse 34 what he was going to do. You see, my friend, we need to listen to Jesus. We need to enjoy his word. We need to listen to him. Because he will speak to us through his word. And so enjoy his word, study his word every day, so that we can enjoy the power and the wisdom he has. Of course, you must be born again to do that. You must know the Lord Jesus as your Savior to enjoy that. And so we find now that Peter had already denied the Lord Jesus by not listening to him. And then, again, all joined in with him. And so the question would come, why should we watch and pray? And the answer is down here in verse 44, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We've just made that the statement just a little bit ago. And so Jesus had just a little bit earlier warned them that they all would be offended. And Peter said, I will never be offended of you, and I would even die for thee. But there's a couple steps here that we need to look at in verse 41. The first is watch. Watch is our job. Our job is to watch, to be careful, to watch for the enemy, because that enemy is there constantly to destroy us, to get us sidetracked, to get us away from the Word of God, get away from serving the Lord, getting away from enjoying what He wants us to have. And our God knows what's best for us. We don't. And so we need to follow his direction. Well, begin first, surrender. Admit you're a sinner. Come to the cross of Calvary. Jesus died there and shed his blood for you. You must trust in that. You must by faith believe that, and that only. Not in church membership, not in baptism, not in anything else. Just in the person of Jesus Christ. Because he is the only begotten Son of God. He is the one that come to this earth to seek and to save those that are lost. And if you'll admit you're a sinner, then you're lost. Now you can be saved, be born again. Those two things have to take place. And once you say yes to Jesus, save me, he will save you and he will keep you eternally. You must do that. You must do that. So that's first. But next then, we need to watch, because even though we are saved now, and God has washed away through his Son's precious blood all of our sin, we still live in the flesh. And even though right now that we are saved, the only thing the devil can do, he can't get our soul, but he can ruin us. And his goal is to ruin us, ruin our testimony, that no one will believe how great our God is, because we have disgraced our God. So we need to be careful. We need to watch. That's our job. Now, prayer helps us to do just that. So if you're watching, we also need to be praying. And if we're praying, then we are watching. So the two of them go very close together. So what a concept. What a thought. If they had any idea what was coming, they would not have been sleeping. If they would have had any idea. For we know that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's our nature. It's our flesh. And that's what that verse 41 clearly tells us. Watch and pray. Pray and watch, that ye enter not into temptation. Jesus knows the power of the devil. Jesus knows how he attacks, save the children of God at any time, and especially when we're tired, when we're weak, when we're defeated. Maybe something's going wrong at work, something's going wrong at home, a thousand different problems that we have every day. And the devil knows when it is and how he can come and trick us. We need to know something here and understand something. Because in verse 42, he says he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And what did we read back in 39? O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, as I will, but as thou wilt. If Jesus would have died in the garden, Satan would have won. There'd have been no salvation for anyone. The word must be fulfilled. God's plan must be carried out. So the call to take this cup from me was not because of the pain and the agony that was coming before him, which he knew, the physical death on the cross. Even to experience all the sins of all the world to be laid upon him, that's why he came. But he's saying to God the Father, I can't die before the cross. I can't die before the cross. So, again, the call to take this cup from me was not Calvary. It was not dying on the cross. And we need to understand that the devil was aware of this. The devil was aware that the cross was coming. The devil can't tell the future. Our God can. Our God knows every step, every word, every thought. He knows all that. Thankfully, we have a free will, so whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He does not want us to serve him because we have to. He wants us to serve him because we want to. And once you recognize that you're a sinner and you're lost, you'll recognize that you need a Savior. And he is the one, the only, the greatest Savior we could ever have. He fills your life with joy, peace, strength. So please, please, that you listen. But we need to back up a little bit here and realize that the single greatest battle that was ever fought between God and the devil was on this day, at this time, in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Gethsemane, I'm sorry. Because that's where the battle was fought, and the greatest battle ever. Because the devil knew, Satan knew he had to defeat Jesus right there. He could not let him get to the cross. Let's take a look at that conflict. It's quite lengthy. We're not going to get through it today. We'll continue it next time we're together. But let's look at that battle between the devil and the seed of the woman. It starts in the Garden of Eden. Begun with Eve being led by Satan to eat of the forbidden fruit. Then Adam ate. Now we know, according to the Word of God, that Adam understood. Eve was deceived. Adam was not. I believe the reason that the devil went after Eve, because God told Adam not to eat. Everything is fine for you, everything, except for that one tree, that forbidden fruit. You cannot, and it was blamed to be an apple, we don't know what it was. But they were told, God told Adam, Adam told Eve. So you see, the only weak link here could possibly be Eve. Because Adam and God, he heard it directly from God. So, and it starts out with the good old lie, did God say? And then we know what happened to Eve because she added to the Word of God. We can't do that. We can't take away from the Word of God or add the Word of God. She did. The old devil knew right there. The old devil knew right there that he had her. I've got her going. I've got to keep her because she is going to. And so out of the lies that the devil fed to Eve, she believed. And I believe if she would have quoted what Adam had told her correctly, I think that things would have been different, at least for a while. The old devil had tried again, we know. But right then and there, because of that little change in words, was just enough. And, you know, as we look at all the new versions of the Bible, you hear me this many times, at Old King James Bible, it is as close to the Greek and the Hebrew as you can have. And you need to stay with it because there are so many things that these new versions have changed, have moved, have taken away. And you won't know it unless you stay with the good, precious Old King James. So I ask you that you go back to that. If you want salvation, If you want to really enjoy life, please stay there, because our God will give you the peace and the joy. Because that was the first thing that Eve did. She rewrote the Bible. She made her own understanding of it. She said, I'm forbidden to eat that and I can't touch it. No, God didn't say that. Adam didn't say that to her. But that's what she repeated, so that was enough. Well, Adam, the only way that Adam could save his precious bride was for him to follow. Otherwise, they would have been separated forever. Adam loved Eve, and he ate of that forbidden fruit, knowing what was going to happen. And by Adam eating of that forbidden fruit, he has thrown the whole human race, the whole human family, into sin and death by sin. Same time, because of that, the curse was put on all of creation. And to Satan, he said, and now we're going to go back to the Old Testament and stay there the rest of the day. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And if you know your Bible, you know that I'm going to the very first gospel that was presented. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Now this is what was told to Satan. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That is the very first gospel that was presented. Now we go all the way and you think of the gospel being in the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Gospels presented in Romans and Acts and many areas of the precious scripture, the gospel is so clear. But this is the first one. This was the promise that God gave to Satan. Right before that, the Lord God said unto the serpent, to Satan, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. So the descendants and the Lord Jesus. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You die from the wound to the head. Jesus went to the cross. He rose again. We have the very first gospel presented there. And for 4,000 years, Satan moved under this fear, this terrible fear of the coming of that seed. Seed of a woman. Started out with the birth of Cain and Abel. Cain, when they brought their sacrifices, brought fruit, brought grain. God rejected it. Abel, he brought a blood sacrifice. God accepted it. You see, it's all about the precious blood. And it was told to Adam and Eve, and it was told to Cain and Abel, that they were to always, when they brought an offering before God, it always had to involve the blood. We can move all the way forwards for just a moment to the days of the tabernacle, Moses and the tabernacle. The high priest on the Day of Atonement would never enter into the Holy of Holies, and that's the only day they entered. You would never enter into that place without the blood. and every offering that was brought to the altar was a blood offering. It was done with animals because that's the only way that it could be a picture of the coming of the Messiah. But it was all about understanding that there must be the shedding of blood for the redemption, to be redeemed, to be saved, to have your sins forgiven. There must be the shedding of blood. And the only way that anyone could accomplish that is for someone perfect to do that. And that's our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus. Cain's was rejected. Abel became the promised seed. He listened. He followed. He was the promised seed. Now, human nature is very frail and very weak. We fear many things. Sickness, bodily harm, you know, even to the point of folks that were not liked, any kind of trial. And so often when we fail, the only thing we can rest upon, the only thing we can trust, is our faith. Well, I want to back up just a little bit here, because I've got a couple of things that I'd like to cover before we get past Cain and Abel here. I want to start with the promised seed. Now, as we look, hold your place back in Genesis. I don't know if we're going to get back there today or not. But I want you to go with me to the Gospel of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. I maybe should have read this a little earlier, but I wanted to kind of give you an introduction into the way Satan works, and then we will continue that. And again, it'll probably be the next time we're together. But right now, I want you to come back to another spot where we talk about the cup, because it does kind of expose for us the tremendous burden that our Savior was facing. Luke chapter 22, verse 41. Same story, same place, Garden of Gethsemane. And verse 41 tells us, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. His sweat was, as it were, drops, great drops of blood falling down from the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them asleep for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Arise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." The one I want you to see was the drops of blood. Doctors tell us that if you're to that condition, that you're sweating blood, you're very close to death. I spoke earlier of the battle that the devil was the strength, the fight that was going on in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's the cup that Jesus was praying to his Father to take from him. And he sent angels in verse 43 to give him strength, because Jesus had to get to the cross. He had to get to the cross. It was a desperate cry for God's assistance, the Father. So we'll begin there next time, and then we'll continue the story of the devil and how he tried to defeat the Lord Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?